Weekends on the Fanatic. Tyrone Johnson. Sports talk never stops. Listen all weekend to 97.5 The Fanatic. Philadelphia.
Good morning, everybody, on this lovely Saturday. Tyrone Johnson, Hunter Brody on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dan Fritz producing. 610-632-0975. Man, a lot went on this week. A lot happened this week. And a lot's going to happen tomorrow. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there, Dan and others. Man, this was crazy. But we start, like we always start, with the word of the week. And the word of the week this week is insane. Because there are certain things that are just insane. And even if a movie producer, if a script writer wrote some of the things that happened in this past week, we wouldn't believe it. And we have a lot of it to respond to. First things first, I guess we'll start with our local team that's still actually playing right now, and that's the Phillies. Obviously, the Union are as well, and they're good, but they've been off for a couple weeks, actually. Here we go. Before, it was thought that maybe Joe Girardi was part of the problem. Then, I correctly surmised that it was all his fault. And now, you fast forward, and his team has now won 14 of their last 16 games. They're now four games over 500. When Joe Girardi was here, this team stunk. They were unwatchable. People weren't going. People weren't watching. No one cared. Fast forward 2 weeks. 2 weeks without this guy. And all of a sudden, they've been purified. All of a sudden, everything's great. If you wrote it in a movie, people would say, oh, come on. It's not realistic. You're going to be able to tell me that a baseball team where managers don't even do that much can make that much of a difference? Yes. Yes. Yes, it does. It is absolutely insane that this team used to lose baseball games every which way, and now they win them every which way. If you were up last night to see it, I know a lot of people up and about now, maybe they missed it, the working man, the working woman out there, the working non-binary person out there going crazy, having to bust their butts to work. I get it. I feel your pain. Listen, we're working just like you guys on a Saturday with the nice weather. But this team finds a way to win every darn game now after finding ways before to lose every game. And before, Bryce Harper was awesome, and it wasn't leading to wins. Now Bryce Harper's awesome, and it's leading to a whole bunch of wins. He's barely in the game. You got the umpires, if I may. It is insane, word of the week, how bad they are at their jobs. If only people talk about, oh, weather people. Weather people are having to deal with acts of God. You think it's easy? You think it's easy to tell you what's about to happen with the weather? You can check the barometric pressure. You can take the radar. But if God's will says, you know what, this wind that was supposed to come from the north, it's coming from the south. There's not a darn thing you can do about that. Baseball umpires are terrible. Refs in general are terrible. It's not really a respectable profession because think about what you dreamed of growing up as a kid. Think of your dreams. I would imagine, Hunter, that you probably at the time as a kid thought you were going to play in the NHL.
Yeah.
And you played in college. So this is disrespect. I'm saying you played hockey. It's not like you didn't give it the old college try. It just didn't work out because it's hard to play in the NHL. But that was your dream.
That is correct.
That's a normal dream. See, Dan, when you were a kid, growing up, what was your dream? Like, what job did you want when you were a kid, when you were 10 years old?
10 years old, I was probably starting to get into wanting to be a firefighter.
All right. Look at that. Firefighter. That's a real job.
At one point, I wanted to be an orthodontist just because my orthodontist wore pajamas. Nothing to actually do with these surgeries or the mouth stuff.
He wore pajamas.
Flyers pajamas, to be exact.
Instead of scrubs,
yeah.
He wore pajamas.
Yeah. Huh. And then I realized that there's a lot more to it than just the comfort of the clothes.
The medical school, the dental school, you got to know how to do stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, your dentist actually would know how to deliver a baby in a pinch.
I did not know that.
Yes, so do psychiatrists who do the brain, who can give you drugs. In a pinch, they had to take a basic rudimentary class on, like, how to deliver a baby in a pinch.
Huh.
They also could take blood for, like, a blood work if they had to. I'm sure they're rusty, but they learned that along the way. You probably didn't think about any of that when you wanted to wear pajamas at work.
Correct.
But what you didn't want to do is be a snitch as a job.
Exactly.
And that's what refs and umps are. I've talked about this many times, but like, you're an umpire. You want to go, ooh, you're out. Like, that's your job.
But,
ooh,
you
know, ooh, the ball beat you. You're out. Like, are you kidding me?
It's funny.
That's not a real job.
One of my buddies right now is reffing in the AHL, the minor leagues, where the fan was playing all that. And it's hysterical to listen to him now speak of the game. I'm like, dude, you changed.
Yep.
You changed.
Yeah, like, ooh, look at him. Ooh, he's all sides. Like, and yes, you do need someone there to enforce the rules. Yes, I understand that. But is it like that was your dream job? Like, oh, my God, I tell real athletes, people who are actually talented, that they're bad all day. Like, that's their job, is to tell people who are really great at their jobs that they're bad.
Well, you know, after a game, after a victory, you have a cold one with the boys, you talk about the game. They sit there at the bar and go, hey, that second period, that was a nice icing.
Like, yeah, are you kidding me?
Good tripping call in the third. Yeah, that's loser mentality.
It's a loser mentality. It's a loser job. So Bryce Harper's up to the plate yesterday. This is how insane it is. Because this was not happening to the Phillies when Girardi was here. Everything changed when he got out of here. And as the weeks go by and the days go by, I just can't believe how insane it is. Because Bryce Harper, they're pitching around him. In my opinion, I would have pitch hit for Real Muto. Because he's terrible right
Agreed.
Now.
Agreed.
He's awful right now. He legs it out, even though, I mean, feeble contact. Get the ball to the damn outfield, man. Like, they catch it fine, but, like, get it out of the infield. But he does hustle down the line, to his credit. So it brings up Bryce Harper, who's pinch hitting. Ball one, ball two, ball three. They're clearly pitching around him. He throws a clear ball four, high, out of the zone, up under his chin. And for some reason, the umpire calls strike. All right. He's undoing his shin guard. And he stands back up. Are you kidding me? All right, fine. And this is why umps are losers. So, the very next pitch. Now, if I'm the pitcher, I throw that same high pitch. Because he can only pop that pitch up if he does hit it. But it'll likely be ball four, which is clearly what I was told to do in the first place. Instead, the ball hangs in the zone. He rips it for a double. The game's tied. And now in a wild sequence in which they then end up taking the lead, then Didi throws a bad throw for whatever reason, Reese Stone Glove Hoskins, who is really hitting lately. But that glove, my goodness, get him to the DH spot. Please have his elbow heal, so that he could play a little bit of the field by Miracle Harper, so that we could get Reese out of the infield. Because goodness gracious with that glove. They tie the game. Anyway, Phillies end up winning the game. None of this happened under Girardi. Don't you think it's insane that this same team, the only personnel that changed was bringing guys up from the minors. Like, they didn't make a trade. They didn't make an acquisition. There wasn't some big player that came back from injury. Oh, yeah, Harper was out for the first 50 games. So, of course, it turned around. No, this is the same team, the same pitchers, the same relievers. Everybody's the same. And before they stunk, and now they've won 14 of 16, what the heck happened?
I don't have the answer for you, and I'm laughing at some of these decisions, because if Jose Alvarado, and they went to Bilotti in the ninth, he got couple strikeouts. I know.
Bilotti in the ninth.
Bilotti. And then you go from that to Jose Alvarado. He's a mess. That would have failed. Not only that, he's hitting in the 10th inning because you lost your DH spot. If all of these decisions happened under Joe, we would have lost our mind. There was even a sequence a few weeks back where Matt Vierling played second base just because.
And then on Saturday, and then on Monday, he played third base, and they won both games.
And he hit two homers yesterday. None of this is adding up, but it's beautiful. It's fantastic. I don't know the answer, but it's a joy every night to sit down and watch this team. 7:05 first pitch. The adrenaline rush of this team competing right now. But we have to say this. Wow, the Nationals suck.
Yeah, they're terrible.
That is bad baseball.
They're terrible.
Bad baseball.
They're terrible. And
is that what it looked like when other teams were playing the Phillies under Joe Girardi?
Yes.
Woo.
Oh, they'll find a way to lose. And then to get the extra run as it goes to extras. So good on Dusty Wotham for knowing the rule. Good on Reese Hoskins for just getting in the way because he was not going to get to the ball. Now here's the thing. Another thing about a losing team. He wasn't getting to that ball. Why are you diving at Reese's body? The ball's in the outfield. What are you doing? If you just stand there, it's a one-run game. They end up tying it in the bottom half of the inning, and the game continues or they have a chance to win it. Instead, he, for whatever reason, just runs into Reese. Reese is just standing in the base pads. Like, he's not doing anything wrong. All he has to do is just, okay, I can't get to it. Ball gets to the outfield. All right. One-run game. Instead, Dusty sends him. He's out by a forget a country mile. He's out by a Canadian kilometer or whatever it is. Like, he's way out, right? They have to award the run. That gives them the two-run cushion in the bottom half and done. And they win the game. None of this stuff happened with Joe Girardi. None of it. At some point, I got to find out. What did he do? What did he do to these guys? Was he threatening them? Was he just ignoring them? Was he, like, what was he doing to these players to where they couldn't play at all under him? And now they're amazing without him. He was doing something.
Well, we heard from Jason Stark on these airwaves that him and Nick Castellanos weren't even, or didn't have much dialogue.
Two conversations in months.
That's impossible. It really is impossible to think that it's that little. So maybe it's just a lack of communication, the lack of belief. And, you know, it kind of goes against something I mentioned, which is nowadays these athletes are so individualized and all about them. How much do you form within a relationship with the manager in 2020 compared to maybe the early 90s or something? And I guess we debunked that because they are fighting for him. I guess I do have a little criticism of Rob yesterday, and here's what I would have done differently. Game one of the doubleheader, I probably would have let Sir Anthony go the eighth and the ninth, so then I could use hand in case there was a closer game in game two of the doubleheader, so you didn't have to utilize an Alvarado. But this team's different.
But the other part is, if they none of that matters, he doesn't have to use any of them, and he's using Bilotti probably in the first game. If the base is loaded, nobody out situation, they put a ball in play. They're there because think about it. If they put a ball in play there, it's 7-8 versus 5. So their three runs don't matter as much. And then you're not using anybody in like a high leverage situation. It's Bilotti or somebody else, or maybe Alvarado or somebody in the first game. And then you have Head and Sir Anthony available in the second game. So you're right. But I think he thought 5-0. We got this under control. Bases loaded, nobody out. Here we go. We'll blow this open. We won't have to use anybody important. Oh, wait. All of a sudden, and it's everything bad with this team. The one thing that hasn't changed, it always starts with Herrera.
Yeah, that was bad.
He's got to put it in play. He's the veteran. Because then after him, you have
it was Bohm and Stott.
And Stott.
But Stott got screwed on that third call.
He did. And Bohm, he's having a lot of, he still has trouble with the fastball, which is troublesome. He's got to find a way to get them hands quicker.
We're back to singles McGee here.
Yeah. Open up a little bit. I'm saying this doesn't take that. You don't have to be a hitting coach to do. Open up a little bit, right? You're 6'5". If a fastball comes on the inner half, just pull it. Just yoke that thing down. You're 6'5". Just leverage. I'm saying I'm 6'2". I'm not 6'5". And I'm not a major league player. So let's say I'm in a softball game, right? Where everybody pulls everything.
Boy, are you going to walk like Connor Thomas? That's the biggest violation I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, we'll get to that. I was working with him yesterday. We'll get to that. You open up your stance. If he comes on the inner half, you know what I'm going to do? Because I have good speed, pull it down the line and run it out. But I'm not 6'5 pro baseball player. So what I'm doing is just getting it on and making a guy have to field it and make a play. He's not going to make a play on me because I still have pretty good speed. Him, yoke that thing down the line. He should be hitting these foul balls. Is it fair? Is it foul home runs? He should have 10 of those already this year. Like, it's the way they pitch them. They're giving them fastballs all the time. Make them throw breaking balls to you. Instead, they just throw heat. He can't catch up to it. That's disappointing from a guy who's from a power position. Getting all these groove fastballs, he's doing nothing with them.
I agree, especially when, and it's hard to criticize him. I think he went on a 5-game hitting streak but.
And he's better than last year.
Yeah.
But
you see, if you're 260, 255, and you're hitting singles, especially with the defense and the lack of IQ, look, there's plenty of reasons why we all despise Odubel Herrera, and reasonably so. Yeah. But one thing we always touch on with him is how dumb of the IQ. He plays dumb.
Bohm's is every bit as low.
Yes, he plays a dumb brand of baseball with the IQ, Odubel, that is. And
yes,
it's just as bad with Alec Bohm when he has, this is twice now in 1 week where there is a clear play at third where all you have to do is either tag the runner or touch on the base.
Doesn't matter. You're ahead of him. So either take two steps back or you just wait for him. It's a force. He has to come to you. There is no rundown here. It's a force. He'll come to you. You tag him, and now it's first and second. For the people that may not know, and yes, are we digging into minutia despite the fact that they're winning? Yes, because this is the norm. They're up 5-3 in the bottom of the ninth. There's runners on first and second, one out at the top. The ball gets hit to him on the third base side. So you know that the player, the runner on second, has to come to third force. So what he can do is he can, as you just mentioned, step on the bag. Or when the runner has to come towards you, you tag him. And now with a two-run lead, it's first and second, two outs. Instead, like an idiot, he throws and gets the force at first base, and it's second and third, two outs in a two-run game, which means if the next batter gets a single, he ties the game. If it's first and second, and the next hitter gets a single, it's a 5-4 game. Who cares? That matters. That will matter later. It is disappointing how dumb he is.
And you know what? When you're playing third, that,
a high school kid, a middle school kid, like maybe little league, but from middle school up, they know to make that play.
Absolutely, and you kind of read my mind. I was saying, you're told, before the ball is hit, where am I going with the baseball? And when right. there's a guy on first and second here, it's it's not like that one's like, oh, I have so much to think about here. It's you get a ground ball, go to third, or the guy's running right in front of you. You got to make the tag there and get the out second
the
and third.
The lead runner. This is simple. Get the lead runner. Now, if the ball's hit to the first base side, even the second baseman, okay, do I have enough time to make that throw, blah, 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 to get the out? But when it's hit to the third baseman with tons of time, there's only one play when you're sixth grade on. Again, fifth grade, fourth grade, totally different kind of deal. Sometimes it's just get the out because what are the odds? The next kid might be a guy who's got no hits this season. Don't worry about it. But from age 11 or 12 on, it's always get the lead runner. They just say everyone, yeah, their parents are yelling it. Lead runner, get the lead runner. Like everybody just knows the lead runner's the guy to get. And he doesn't do it. And that's also insane. But before we go to this break, the other thing happened this week. So Phillies, 610-632-0975. What the heck is going on here? And don't just give me the schedule because they just won 2 or 3 from the Marlins. They always lose to the Marlins. When it was Girardi, they lose that series if Girardi's still here. Like, say whatever you want. They probably lose last night's game, too. Or maybe both they find a way to lose of the doubleheader if Girardi's here. But they definitely lose that last game where Stott hits the – not Stott, where –
Stubbs.
Stubbs hits the walk-off. They definitely lose that game to the Marlins when Girardi's here. It's unbelievable. 610-632-0975. NBA Finals. So now you come away from it, and everyone's rooting against Boston, as we should. You got to root against Boston. The Warriors win. That's 4 in 8 years. I already said I think Curry's a top 5 player. People are claiming that it's recency bias. I was ahead of this curve. Like, this isn't real. I've been trying to tell people. He's changed the damn game of basketball. You saw, you know that never in NBA history has a player in the finals ever averaged 30 points a game against the number one defense? Now, and by the way, the number one defense has made, like the Warriors, when they beat LeBron, they were the number one defense that year. No one's ever averaged 30 points ever in NBA history against the number one defense ever. He just did that. That's never happened. Like, that never happened. Like, they've been playing the NBA Finals for a while.
Did you think Andrew Wiggins got robbed of the Finals MVP?
I did not. I thought Wiggins did a nice job locking up Tatum. But some of that also was on Tatum, and some of that was on Udoka.
Tatum somehow escaped. I'm sure the Boston media is a little bit heavier.
They're killing him.
Yeah, I'm sure the Boston media is.
They're going too far, actually.
Okay.
He's a bum, 24 years old.
Right, that doesn't surprise me. But it does seem nationally they're too easy on him. It's almost like nationally too easy, and then the Boston fans are ready to ship him out of town.
Always.
Yeah.
They always go too far. So with that in mind, 4 rings, 8 years. I asked this yesterday. I want to ask you. Philadelphia, all right, we're at worst a top 3 sports city. Let's say top 5.
I would say it's probably like New York, Boston, L.A., Philly. Is that fair? So we're 4?
Well, I think we're higher, but.
Sure, I'm just saying off the top of my head, the York, stereotypical answer
Boston,
would probably be
L.A.,
that.
Philly. Okay, so with that in mind, and now the San Francisco Bay Area has now had two different dynasties. They've had the 49ers with the 4 from Montana plus the 1 from Young. And now this Warriors dynasty 4 to 8 years. New York's had the Yankees obviously. So they've had dynasty. Boston's had the Celtics run with Bird and all them. Well, Russell and all them. The Bird dynasty and the Patriots dynasty. So they've had, and the Bruins have won, but I'm saying dynasty-wise.
Yeah, they hang in there for sure, the Bruins.
L.A. had the Lakers dynasty with Magic, his five. Then they get three with Shaq and Kobe, five with Kobe.
They get the...
So you could do either way.
The Kings as well.
And the Kings won, what, three out of whatever. So the Kings. We've got none. Back-to-back is the best we've ever done. So I want to ask you what I asked people yesterday, because I don't want to rehash a topic. It was just I didn't get to talk to you about this. Again, New York has had the Yankees. Boston's had multiple. L.A. And then Chicago's also a great sports city. While they had struggles with the Cubs or whatever, they had Jordan 2 years off, three more. Philly, will we ever get a dynasty like the other top sports cities have got? And then Pittsburgh doesn't have everything. They had the Steelers dynasty in the 70s. They had one. And they're not even a 4-for-4 town. I'm saying amongst the 4-for-4 top towns, all of the ones in the argument have all had a dynasty in their history. Not all of them get multiple like Boston. They're extra lucky. But all of them, except us, of the top sports cities, they've all gotten a dynasty. Will we ever, in any, and I'll include the Union, in any of our sports, will we ever get a dynasty?
Ooh, that is a very layered question. And with all these sports cities, too, by the way, Sidney Crosby, Malkin Cups, Chicago Cups. Like, these teams...
All right, I'm saying I believe, like, the Super Bowl. And if you think about it, having 08 and then having 18, like, that's not terrible. Because we went from 83 to 08 with nothing. Now 08, okay, we had to wait 10 years, but we got something else. Flyers made the finals in between. Like, it's not terrible. But at some point, the best cities, and we're one of the best cities, get it to where, wow, in that sport, like the Knicks weren't awesome the whole time. The Yankees were awesome. Like the Jeter Yankees, like the Knicks weren't winning anything. They had somebody, though. Shouldn't we at some point get one of our teams, like the Sixers or the Flyers or the Phillies, or one of them, wow, 4 and 8 years, like the Warriors just did, shouldn't we get one at some point?
I would love to say yes. I would love to sit here and say absolutely. I just wonder, and a lot of these things we are bringing up, like the Penguins, it is recent, and the Chicago Blackhawks is in the 2010 range, so it's not as if it's very far away, but I just wonder, with the nature of where sports are today, and I know Boston just did it with the New England Patriots. Football is a little bit different than the other sports, especially when you have Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. We will never, ever, ever see something like that again in my eyes. So I don't know. I think more it's less about Philadelphia not being able to do it, and it's more about where sports is going and where it's headed with, you know, it's that much more difficult to do it now than ever before, if that makes sense. So it's less about, well, we can't do it here because we're unlucky.
But the Warriors doing it now. The Warriors did it 2 days ago.
Basketball.
And that's modern. Modern.
This goes back to something you say a lot, too, about basketball, where it's your hardest to get, but once you get it, it opens up the door. So it is definitely more possible to do it in basketball than the other sports. Hockey, football, and in baseball, maybe it's more difficult to do. Like the Dodgers, think about the teams, they're stacked, how much money. They won the bubble year, you know? They won the year. It's so hard to do that, even when you are pouring all that money and taking guys from Tampa Bay and trying to build their system in L.A. And it's hard. So I guess I'm going to have to say probably not, just playing my percentages, but in basketball, there's more hope than in other sports.
It just is. And you saw when they were playing Boston, Curry has that secret sauce. In addition to being a great player, Draymond has that secret sauce. And then Wiggins, from being around it, got the recipe to that secret sauce. And once you find it, you got it. And he's going to say that the Mike Del Rey is going to say they already had their dynasty. It's going to go back to the 40s. And then where the guys literally had second. Well, we'll talk to Mike on the other side. 610-632-0975. Mike Del Rey will be first, and we'll get to you. Man, oh, man. Word of the week is insane. A lot of insane things happen. And there's more insane stuff. At 10 o'clock, we'll play a snippet, a part, because he went on for about an hour, of Tortorella's brand-new Flyers coach. And it's going to be related to Girardi when we talk about that a little bit later on as well. So 610-632-0975, and we'll be back here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Weekends on The Fanatic. Tyrone Johnson. Sports talk never stops. Listen all weekend to 97.5 The Fanatic. Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Smooth. 97.5 The Fanatic. Tyrone Johnson, Hunter Brody. 610-632-0975. Word of the day is insane. Father's Day is tomorrow. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Here's the crazy thing about this whole thing. Here's the crazy thing about, because that's the word of the week. Girardi, the Phillies, obviously insane. Four championships in 8 years, insane. Tortorella, great press conference until the end. There's a difference. Now, I will admit, to continue the conversation about the thing before, it's not, I think I'm a coachable guy in general. What I am, though, is I know who I am, one. And then the other part is I feel like everything should be questioned. What I mean is, in a military situation, if the general says X, say go left, you have to go left. Okay, fine. This isn't the military. Like, including Hawk, like, they can try to make it out to be. So, if you want to run a certain kind of offense, they want to do a certain defensive alignment. I saw what the Rangers did. I was watching the playoffs when they played their game 7 against Carolina. I was watching all that game. To me, that was well, game 7 is awesome, right? They were taking the bot. They were going up high and taking out that top guy every time they came up the ice. That was their plan. Like, that guy's going to have to make a physical toe, play a physical toe. So either he has to get rid of it earlier than he wants to, or if he tries to skate into the zone, he's taking these hits. And that was their plan every single time. And it worked. And, in fact, guys ended up getting hurt because
Trouba. Yeah, Trouba was stepping up and hitting everybody. Everyone.
And that was clearly the plan. And that's a plan that worked. If a coach lays out a plan, I would say, okay, coach, well, what if they do this? And the coach should have an answer for that. It shouldn't be shut up and do what I said. And too often, coaches want to just say, shut up and do what I said. And that's the part I'm not okay with.
Yeah, I mean, if you tie that to a Nick Sirianni, for example, you know what Sirianni would be like? Yeah, you know what? Let's have some open dialogue.
Right.
You know? Like, that's the difference in the stylistic of coaching in today's new younger generation, younger head coaches compared to an older school guy. Because if you asked Nick Sirianni something, he's definitely not just going to shut the door in your face and say, shut up and this is what I'm telling you. He'd be like, yeah, let's open up the playbook and let's have some combo.
Right. And then if the play didn't work, here's another part. If I just run your play and the play doesn't work, then I'd be like, well, hold on. Can I just do my thing? Because your thing's not working. My thing might work. Your thing doesn't. And the coach sometimes doesn't want to. It could be that your plan was bad. And too many coaches throughout time didn't want to recognize that part.
Yeah, it is pretty interesting to think of the, and he went on and on too about not just molding the hockey player, but molding the person and the character off the ice. And, you know, once again, just trying to tie this back to Girardi. I don't think Joe Girardi cared who Nick Castellanos was off the field or who some of these people were off the field. And maybe it's a little cliche by Tortorella to go down that path, but it does leave it to be a little bit more optimistic because of just the fact that he's at least acknowledging that I do want to have a relationship and bond with these people and not just be this drill sergeant style of old school coach.
Yes, I agree with that. Now, when you were playing, did you ever get benched?
Yeah. By the end of my career, I was a healthy scratch. I was in and out of the lineup and all that.
Okay, that's different. I'm talking about
in game benched?
I'm saying that if you're benched, right, by the coach, At that point, is that not the coach kind of telling you what he thinks about your ability?
Oh, it definitely is.
That's what
at least
coach,
in that moment.
Right. What I'm saying is, or if it's over an extended period, like, okay, fine. This coach doesn't think I can run what he wants to run.
Correct.
Well, I don't have to like it. He was almost talking like, oh, if you just deal with it, you'll like, no. I won't like it, and I won't like you. Like, I'm sorry. No, if I want to play. I don't want to watch. If I'm not able to play, well, then, no, I'm not going to like you. Like I'm not.
But that's why it's so weird, because my final year, so maybe it's because I realized my passion was shifting, because what I used to feel about hockey every day, waking up and going to the rink, is how I started to feel about sports talk radio and broadcasting and media, where I saw my shift in focus and my care level. So maybe it made it a little bit easier for me as a healthy scratch by the end to go like, you know what, I'm so passionate about something else anyway. But my favorite coach was my college coach, and that's where I least played. So I don't know why that is. That it's kind of bizarre, because I didn't play. I was getting scratched. But you know what it comes down to?
But why?
Off the ice, I went into his office. I put my feet up. We would just talk.
But he wasn't giving you the playing time.
I know. That's why it doesn't make much sense.
Right, because wasn't it about the play?
I played 12 games out of about 40.
Yeah,
12 out of 40.
I'm not talking to that coach.
But I'm acknowledging that that is weird by me. But I think I laid out why it was. By the end, I had a different passion, and I knew that.
Right.
And I understood that. And
if you care less about it, because I kind of don't do stuff I don't really care about. If I don't care about it, I try to do everything I can to not do it.
And maybe this plays a role, too. After my sophomore year, you have your exit meetings, right?
Yes.
I sit in his office. We're looking face to face. And when you're talking to someone who was in my position, he's probably going, all right, I know how this is going to go, right? There's probably going to be some dialogue. And I told him about where I was. And he goes, you know how many kids come into my office after a year like you had? And they go, I don't want to play anymore. And I'm like, trust me, follow me. I promise you, it won't be like it's more of a something along those lines.
Yeah.
He goes, pursue that dream of yours. He went the other way. He goes, I see it in your eyes. I kind of see where. Pursue that broadcasting. Pursue that. And this was.
But you saying that also made his job easier, though.
Yeah, but we had a relationship that I think was a little different than most. I don't think he was like, I need to get Broads out of my hair. We still talk to this day.
Because, like, it's tough. What I mean is everybody wants to play.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to play. That's the issue. Like, even if you look at the Sixers, Korkmaz and Shake Milton and Isaiah Joe, they all want to play 40 minutes. So that conversation is, it might not be uncomfortable for the person delivering it, because they might be comfortable with that kind of conflict. Like, I don't have issues with conflict. But other people do. So you made it easier on him because he's giving you bad news, and you're taking it like it's not bad news. So don't you think that changed the bit of... Because I guarantee you had that conversation. You weren't the only player not playing. I'm not saying you were trash.
No.
I'm saying there were probably other players.
But there's 10 defensemen on the roster. Six play every night. So there were four. Yeah,
so I'm
yeah.
saying there were other guys. Some of those other guys were ready to flip the table.
Yeah.
I wonder if he... Like, how did he... Like, he supported you because you made it easier. Another kid was like, are you kidding me, coach?
No.
Bleep you. I hate... Like,
I don't think that's it. But only because... I knew him we have a relation where I still talk to him to this day and all. So, like, we're still connecting and things of that nature. Where I think we had that much of... He does a great job of the bond off the ice. And that plays a role in... Like, he cares about me, the person, more than me, the hockey player, in regards to pursuing this dream of mine and where I'm at today.
Right.
So I think that's what... I'm trying to tie this to Girardi, Tortorella, the people outside of the sport, and how bad I thought Joe was at it. Where I think he went such a great way, where here's a coach who I didn't even play much, but he's yet my favorite coach I've ever had. It almost doesn't even make sense.
No, it doesn't.
At all. The
way I'm wired, he'd be my least favorite coach.
I know. He's my favorite coach ever. Favorite coach ever.
Like...
Doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, because I've been wanting to pursue this a long time. I've had tons of people tell me, hell no, it ain't going to happen. I don't like any of those people. Not one of them. Like, to the point where, here's the good thing, though. I'm pretty good at hiding it. In fact, I honestly think that I'm America's greatest living actor.
Wow.
Like, Meryl Streep, Denzel Washington don't have bleep on me, okay? There are people that I've had to work with who I despise. And they don't know it.
Well, you're looking at me right in the eye. So is this something that you're trying to tell me?
No, you're good.
I don't know if I believe you, Denzel. No,
You're good. No, huh? Listen, you wouldn't know. But you wouldn't know. But you wouldn't know. No. But I've done that. But like, yeah, I'm talking about like if like they were on fire.
If they were on fire, you're just letting it go.
And I've had a gout 7 gallons of water. I don't go find a bush. Like that kind of stuff. But they don't know.
Do they work here? Have they ever worked here?
It doesn't matter. But so the question's going to be, when Tortorella, clearly you saw with Joe, they hated him. Because the moment he left, the Phillies have done nothing but win since. All of a sudden they're having fun. All these water baths and stuff at the end. I guess it would be a waste of a lot of Gatorade.
So you're okay with the water? Yeah. I've heard some debate that it's stupid because they know it's coming. So when is something new going to happen? But Stubbs is not in a position to know.
But what's new? I love that when people say do something new to celebrate. What?
We done the pie.
Well, because remember they were doing the jumping up and down thing, and then the guy started getting hurt because the whole team's jumping up and down. All it takes is one person to come down. Guy tore his ACL celebrating. You don't want that.
Tackle him.
Well, the people got mad at Ryan Howard because Brad Lidge wasn't perfect the next year, as if he was going to be perfect for 2 straight years because he was perfect in 08, like he was going to be perfect. Oh, he hurt his knee when Ryan Howard tackled him. That was just made up. That was not true. People just made that up. That wasn't true. So I don't know what. You got to come up with something new. Well, no, I think just throw the water.
Okay.
They're having fun.
Keep the water. I don't like when the player dodges. Acknowledge. Embrace.
No, that's cold.
But that's part of, so you have to pay your duties when hitting a walk-off.
Nah, you got to, like, then you, what you need to start doing is have a thing of water that's like room temperature. I don't like getting splashed with cold water.
So you're telling me the payoff of hitting a big bomb to win the game for the squad, you wouldn't take the cold water bath?
I would prefer to not.
But it comes with the territory. Just own it.
I would like room temperature water.
Okay. Hey, Camargo, can you do me a favor? Can you grab the water in the back, please?
Well, this is what I would do. If I see the game and it's close, I would find some water, put it in the sun, allow it to warm up a little bit, so that when we throw it on the guy, it's not bone chilling cold. That's all. I don't like it. Even as a little kid in the pool, I didn't like people like splashing me in the face.
That was always annoying.
I didn't like that.
You know what I used to
like
do?
I don't like all that cold water in my face like that.
I used to get the noodle, put it around the shoulder,
and then
blow it on the one side and just get it.
I didn't do any of that stuff.
The water guns and all that.
I would prefer if you just leave me alone.
How about water basketball?
What do you mean?
Are you like anti? What if you're getting into it a little bit?
Yeah, but like, you know, don't be trying to dunk me under. Are you trying to drown me?
Well, yeah.
This is a death game.
Put the hand over your head so I could dunk on you.
This is murder ball now?
Well, there's a limit here.
Trying to kill me?
No.
What if I drown?
4 seconds.
Oh, no.
3 seconds.
Oh, no.
No?
No, don't put me under. Play defense.
No, I'm the one on offense. You better play some better defense.
No, I'm sorry. Why am I getting pushed underwater? That's an offensive foul. You shouldn't be touching me at all. I slide my feet. I can swim. I slide, and defend the shot. What I'm not going to be doing is pushing people underwater. No, I don't care for that.
Well, the refs are bad that day. They're not paying attention.
Yeah, then no, I'm out. I just won't play. I never thought any of that was fun.
Yeah, I'm just kind of busting your stones.
No,
I was a big horse guy. I agree. I'm just like, why are you putting
fun?
I would go horse in the pool.
Oh, yeah, that's
horse
fine.
In the pool, yeah.
I'd do any of that.
Yeah.
I'm saying, oh, what are you doing pushing me underwater? What if I swallow some water in an air pocket or something? Why take the risk? He's a firefighter in there. He's thinking about safety.
I am not fishing somebody out of a pool because you decided to have stupid for breakfast.
I don't ever have stupid for breakfast.
Well, don't pull the audience on that one.
Yeah. 610-632-0975 is Hunter ever had. Stupid for breakfast.
Twice.
Yeah, we can't have that.
No, all I need is my nice venti here.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
What do you mean? Every day I come in, I got my,
You come in with one, but how many have you had before you hit the parking lot?
One. One cup.
No, I'm calling big.
No, one cup, not one full venti.
Uh-huh.
But I have one cup at home before I leave for
and then
work.
Get another one.
And then I pick up a venti.
Yeah, I don't
do that's two.
And then I'll get one on my way home. But then I'm done
day. That's a lot of caffeine.
It's a bad thing by my.
It's a lot of caffeine.
I guess that's stupid for breakfast, some would say.
I mean, I don't know. Some people just, I don't know if that's stupid. It's just a lot of people like coffee. It's just not mine. I don't need it.
Yeah, but see, I get it to the point where I'm so uncomfortable from the caffeine rush that I'm putting my body in this shaking form. And it's like, why do I keep doing this every day? And every sip, I think of, wow, that's one less sip I have.
What is wrong?
I think there's crack in here. I really do.
It could be.
Keep going.
Could be. Snitching on yourself like your generation tends to do.
What do you exactly. mean? I'm drinking coffee. I'm just saying, I think they put crack put in, his, the, co- put his, in yeah, the coffee.
Like Young Thug, you come find out he's part of that whole ring.
Oh, come
of
on.
Coffee Club.
Come on.
Coffee Club was a gang, and they're responsible for 12 murders and all this stuff. That's what happened with Young Thug. And then they used his lyrics again. And then that's my new thing. Young people, because you don't have to worry about that with older people. Jay-Z didn't snitch on himself. Nas didn't snitch on himself. None of them did. Rakim didn't. Cool J, nobody snitched on themselves back then. Hey, young guys out there, this is rappers and also guys with phones. Perhaps, maybe, I know that you want to record every single thing in your life, and nothing's private anymore. But maybe if you're doing something wrong, don't post about it or rap about it or sing about it or anything about it like this generation does. Like, I know, like, here's the crazy thing. I saw a guy get engaged. Which, by the way, my generation, like, no one saw any. Like, unless you were there, you didn't see people get engaged. You saw their wedding pictures. You didn't see their engagement. You saw their engagement shoot.
If I didn't have engagement pictures at the time of me putting my knee down, I was in some trouble.
Right. That's your generation.
Correct.
Now, do you have pictures of your engagement? Do you have pictures of that, Dan?
My engagement?
Yeah.
No.
No. Right. So, at least that's something nice. What this generation has done is, though, everything has to be documented.
Correct.
Yeah. And then you got to, and then here's the funny part. Oh, he did such a good job. He made sure my nails were done. Yeah, so you've been getting your own nails done for 5 years. And now he pays for you to get your nails done. You didn't suspect anything was coming. Are you kidding me?
I didn't get that, though. I didn't get the my nails better be done. I didn't get all that.
Well, I'm saying,
but that's an outlier. I got lucky for that. Right.
This
yeah.
is ridiculous that your generation does this because nothing's private anymore. So now this guy was getting engaged at the edge of a cliff. Yes, it was like some mountains. It was like in Colorado, and he got engaged like in the back where you can see he's like towards the edge of the cliff, and has a perfectly framed picture. And in his caption, he tried to say, she was so surprised. I was like, so let me get this straight. You guys went for a hike. Totally believe what you were going to hike. You're dressed, kind of dressed up in a button-down shirt, long sleeve, and khaki pants for this hike. And she's in like a summer dress, because it was the summertime. And a photographer was there. But by all means, she was so surprised. What is up with y'all?
Don't Why say do, y'all as if I would
y'all.
Do that. I
it's
would
y'all.
Never done that.
That's y'all.
I would have never done
it's
that,
y'all.
Though.
Hey, it looked great. But don't tell me that the photographer was trailing 50 miles.
Here's like the argument 50, you have.
150 feet behind. And then
you
just
be paying me well to try.
He
did
right. He did.
That.
He paid. She was walking up there. Why do we have a photographer? Why are we dressed up to go to the edge of a cliff? She knew exactly. She wasn't surprised.
Here's the argument you have. It's not y'all as if I'm the one starting this or believing in it.
It's your generation.
But it's like allowing Drake to get away with this music with Marvin Drew. I'm allowing my other colleagues, if you will,
yes.
to get away with it.
Because, and then what happens is, rather than say, wow, man, is because I...
But I don't have enough passion to fight back. Like, I don't, like, that doesn't bother me because I ain't doing it.
No, it bothers me.
I know it does.
And then the reason it bothers me is it leads to that mentality of, I must show everything, is why people will commit crimes and then tell them. Like, if you're going to be in an area that's going to be a crime, if you're going to commit a crime, a premeditated crime, perhaps don't show yourself on Instagram. First of all, you should leave your phone at home, period, because they're using your phone as evidence of why like cops get the phone, they go, well, we have proof that you're within 7 inches of that spot. So at the same time, which is don't even start it, but don't Instagram hanging with the crew. 2 blocks away from where you're going to go shoot someone or something or go do something bad. That, what I'm saying, is the same mentality of I must share everything. That's the same mentality of I have to show the engagement and then do the engagement shoot and then do the wedding pictures and then do the like, whoa. I don't need to know none of y'all's business until, and I don't even need to know about the wedding thing unless I'm invited to the wedding. Sort of that. I need none of this information. All of this is unnecessary information for the society.
You're preaching to the choir. I don't want to do. You think I want to go through 7 different forms of wedding pictures? Well, absolutely not.
But y'all do. The collective y'all.
Well, what am I supposed to do about it?
What are you supposed to do about
it? Yeah.
You got to be the person who put, kind of like me. If Tortorella was yelling at all the players, and he yelled at everybody, everybody just took it. Like,
yeah, you get traded.
He get to me.
That means I'm not getting married, and now I got to go start over.
No, so then he gets to me, and I go, you know what, Torts? Can I call you Torts? can I call you Torts?
They will go Torts.
Yeah, lower your voice. What? Lower your voice. Like, I would meet him where he belonged. So he's yelling, I'm down here. Torts, yeah, lower your voice. Yeah, I don't hear anything at that decibel level. Lower your voice.
Do you think he gave himself that nickname?
Torts?
Yeah.
Nah.
So why does he get that acknowledgement Torts. From you, but I don't?
Torts was...
Because you say Broads is... Oh, I wake up one day, I'm like, hey, call me the Broads. I would never do that.
No. I don't know if you called yourself that. What I mean is that it just... I just never would call... I would call him Torts to be a smartass.
Right. You're
normally,
being sarcastic.
I would call him John. Hey, John. Because, I mean, I'm not calling him coach. He's a grown man. Like, I'm a grown man.
They go first.
Yeah, hey, John. But that day, it'd be Torts. All my teammates, I would just call them their names. That's not disrespectful.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't.
I would call... There's the only person in my life currently that I call anybody a nickname is Booney from TV.
Yeah.
And you know why? Because he was introduced to me as Booney.
I came in first day and said, what's up, I'm Broach.
Nah, your name's Hunter. What do you mean? No, it's on the... It says right here, Tyrone and Hunter in studio.
It does say that.
Yeah, your name's Hunter.
So if I get the people above us to change that.
Oh, it's too late now.
Why?
And in the very beginning, I was introduced as Broads. Okay, then that's like your name. But no, it's Hunter forever for me. It could be Broads with everyone else.
Yeah.
Everybody calls my wife because it's...
I was just saying, growing up, you would call it something different, right? I mean, you said you went by your middle name for a while.
Yeah, that's what my family called me.
Well, this is what everyone calls me.
No. But see, that's a government name. My middle name is...
So if I legally somehow insert Broads into my birth certificate, would you shift?
Oh, yeah, if it's in the birth certificate.
All right, maybe this is something I feel I have to do.
I don't think so. 610-632-0975. This is out of control. 610-632-0975. A lot of insane things happened this week, including Broads trying to legally change his name. We'll be back here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.